chicken nuggets, and mac and cheese. They may be the staples for many families with young children. But when food preferences turn into restrictions, that can lead to more serious developmental issues. Hi, I'm Kim Shepherd. This week on Encompass Parent Talks, we're tackling the issue of picky eaters. Maria says her son seemed to have a relatively normal palate when he was very young. But as he started getting older, he began eating fewer and fewer foods, and he stopped gaining weight. Charlene has two sons. When her youngest started refusing foods, she suspected it might be more than just preference and an actual physical problem that needed to be addressed.
He was all about drinking the milk and a couple of different foods, but it pretty much stopped there. So I heard about a parenting workshop at Encompass called Picky Eaters, and I thought, well, I'm going to go check that out and just see if my suspicions are on target. So during that session, it was great because they were talking about kind of what's typical for someone. He was about 3.5, 4 at the time. And I remember the therapist saying, if your child eats under 20 different foods, if you can kind of count the number of foods that they will eat on a regular basis, if it's under 20, then you might want to get a further evaluation. I'm thinking 20 would be fantastic. I've got like 5 on my, I'm counting them on one hand and I can't get any further past that, and 3 of them are milk, you know. So we went in for an evaluation, and that's when we realized that he did need some feeding therapy.
Mine is a little bit different. He was my first, and I didn't know necessarily what to expect. And having made all of his baby food and fed him off the table what we ate, suddenly something in my brain switched off and said, oh, he needs to be eating kid food.
Aha.
And I switched to the nuggets and the mac and cheese and the corn dogs, and I just steered him right away from chili verde that I had made, and the rice,
delicious
Mexican rice that I had, like all of the things, like the meatloaf that I had made. Now he's no longer eating that. Now he's eating junk. And then we had an incident. He's very orally stimulated.
Mm-hmm.
And he choked on a little bottle cap.
Oh, yikes.
And I had been coming to see a therapist for PCIT. And I called and said, okay, just had this harrowing experience. I don't know what to do. I need some help. And so through that, we came in and had an evaluation for other things, and part of it became feeding therapy, because the frustration level of those 5 things now that were only tolerated and not really things that had commingling flavors,
yes,
and nothing can touch, and now we need a separate fork to eat the chicken that can't touch the rice, that can't touch the fruit. It just became way too much.
Did it stem from the choking then? Is that what they discovered?
I don't think so.
Okay.
That was just a random incident, of which his pediatrician said, all kids have issues,
yes,
are very orally stimulated. It'll go away.
Uh-huh.
It has yet to go away. And he only just at 7 gave up his binkies.
Wow. Yeah, I think that is what's interesting. Like, for my youngest, who was in feeding therapy, he has such an active gag reflex. I mean, he hates going through Starbucks with me, and anybody who knows me knows I'm a Starbucks, like, addict. And he can smell the coffee a mile away and just hates it. And so any food that has any aroma to it, so, like, my oldest loves salmon. It's one of his favorite things.
Oh, yeah.
So you bring salmon to the table, and he's physically gagging over it. I mean, it's not like a, oh, I don't like this and I just don't want to try it. I mean, he's physically having a reaction to these things and textures too. But what I loved about the feeding therapy was that it was just such tiny baby steps that
I was thinking
like, you know, we got to get this kid, you know, on 20 plus foods ASAP. And they're like, slow down, slow down. His job is to sit at the table and just be able to sit there with that food on his plate, right?
Tolerate being in the room with the plate.
Yeah.
And the first
just
time she
told
me that, it was like, light bulb.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Stop not putting things on his plate.
Yes.
Because she told me the story of a kid who wouldn't even go into the dining room if a certain food was on his plate. And I thought, oh, I'm so glad that I don't have that,
yes,
to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is easy. And yes, it took us 6 months to get from cheese, tortilla, to quesadilla.
Right, to combine.
Holy,
yes,
guacamole.
Yeah.
And the epic meltdown,
literally,
that occurred,
yeah,
at that, right, the epic meltdown that occurred at that first session where she melted a piece of shredded cheese on a corner of tortilla, I thought the world was gonna end.
Yeah.
And now he still requests quesadillas, but he wants them with chocolate, just like the food therapist. Like, hey,
yes,
let's do something fun and exciting. And
yes,
me, I'm personally gagging at the idea of chocolates in my cheese quesadilla, but sure, buddy, absolutely, I'll put those
yes,
in there for
anything.
You. So we're joined by Kim Kanzler, feeding therapist at Encompass. When you have parents come in and they say, we have issues with feeding, with a picky eater, what are the typical concerns that you tend to hear?
I always want to work with a parent first to really get a clear idea of what that means to them. I've learned over the years that that could mean that the child is a really good eater, but they're not eating broccoli. Or it could mean that the child is really restrictive and eating a total of 5 foods. So I just start with a really candid conversation with the family to get down to what does a daily feeding experience look like for them and their family, and where would they like to get to?
What should kids be eating at different ages? 2-3 years old, they should be eating solid foods, but what kind of variety are we talking about? Is it okay that they have limited palates at that point?
Well, it really varies. So when we're looking at kids of all ages, you know, once you start introducing foods, we want to see that that child is eating a variety of foods in all food groups, and that they really can explore new foods and know that it's okay to say, that's not my favorite, or I don't like that, but that they have no problem trying something new. It's not a scary experience. It's not fearful for them, that they can explore, but also say, I love that, or yeah, no, I'm not gonna do that again.
What's your feeling about the concept of you need to finish your vegetables, or you need to eat everything on your plate before you can leave the table, those sorts of rules that parents, I think, put in place because they want their kids to be able to eat a variety of foods?
We really work with realistic expectations. I think sometimes parents have unrealistic expectations of how much a child should eat. So we have pictures of what a typical plate would look like for a 3 to 4 year old. And parents are shocked that it might be a half a sandwich with 2 or 3 carrots and a handful of grapes, and that is an appropriate meal size. So really, that's where we start, is here is what would be expected, and plus or minus from there. We also really talk about, we don't eat the same amount of food every single meal. You know, if you think about how you eat, sometimes you're really hungry, and so you have a large dinner, and then you wake up and you have just a small bowl of cereal or a cup of yogurt for breakfast. And we have these variations, yet sometimes we place expectations on our babies, our young kids, that they eat the same amount every single meal. And that's just not how our bodies are made.
When they're babies too, they have kind of a certain period. You don't want them to go longer than so many hours without eating. What is that for a toddler, for a young child?
Well, we really like to work on, you have your meals, your breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and then a snack or two. We don't want children in this habit of grazing throughout the day where they're just constantly having access to food, because that doesn't teach their bodies to regulate, to have a meal, process through it, have another food, process through it. So we like to have that structured time, breakfast, wait a period of time, snack period of time, and that can vary child to child. We don't want any feeding experience to go longer than 30 minutes. And most of the time, meals, sitting down at a table, having a structured meal time, if we can get 15 to 20 minutes, a lot of our families are really pleased with that.
Now, some kids maybe just don't like broccoli. They don't like kale. Is it okay for them just to not eat certain foods?
You know, that's really how I start with most of my families, is really asking them, there's a food I'm sure you don't like to eat. You know, for me, it's chicken on the bone. I can't stand seeing, feeling the bone. So if a bowl full of wings was put in front of me, I'd back up and say, I'm out. So it's the same experience for a child. If they really don't like broccoli and there's a plate full of broccoli, they're just going to say, I'm out. But if they're eating cauliflower and celery and carrots and all these other vegetables, that's okay that they have one vegetable that's not their favorite. Now, if they're totally restricting all vegetables, then that is a problem. Then we really need to work on it. But it's finding that give and take of what is a nuisance, just really annoying, and what is a problem. Not liking broccoli, but having all these other healthy vegetables and fruits that they'll eat, that's annoying, not a problem.
Yeah. If you have a kid who really doesn't like vegetables, can you sneak them into their foods?
I am not a fan of sneaking into the foods. You know, I know that there's a couple of great cookbooks out there that really talks about sneaking in fruits and vegetables in foods like garbanzo beans and chocolate chip cookies. But I always say we have to teach that child to like that food, let them explore it and taste it, or you're going to be sending that kid off to college needing to sneak fruits and vegetables in. And so it's really working with that parent to have small, systematic exposures to those foods that they want their child to eat so that they're no longer having to blend it up in a spaghetti sauce or hide it in a chocolate chip cookie.
If a parent notices their child is starting to become a little bit pickier, maybe they want to kind of head it off at the pass before it becomes a real problem, any tips on what parents can do to prevent that kind of issue from coming up?
Consistent exposure. We often say it takes well over 13 presentations of that food in a variety of way before you can truly say, okay, they do not like this food. They have to touch it, smell it, taste it, explore it multiple weeks. And that if you're just consistent and persistent, then likelihood is they will explore and sometimes eat the food. Sometimes not.
And it's not just particular foods necessarily, but as we heard from our moms, sometimes it's the food can't touch, or it's I need a different mm-hmm. fork for a different food. How do you deal with those situations? And is that okay?
We always like to get families early. The earlier we can start working with families, the easier it is to head off when there are significant patterns or restrictions around food, how they'll eat the food, how food has to look, how food has to be on their plate. And so it is working with that child and family and seeing that at the earliest point so that you can talk that through with your child and that family that you're working with.
How important is cooking together as a family when it comes to kids understanding their food and then maybe being okay with it because they understand why it looks the way that it looks when it comes out of the oven?
I love to involve my kids and families in every aspect of it. You know, we'll start at looking through the grocery store ads in the paper, looking at the fresh fruits and vegetables, circling ones that we think look good, going to the store, picking it out, unloading the groceries, maybe washing it, peeling it, down to cutting and preparing it. So every child understands that, you know, this spaghetti that mom puts on the plate really starts with tomatoes and basil and ground flour and, you know, to make this dish. That food doesn't come out of a box or a plastic wrapper. It comes from the ground and you cook and prepare.
Yeah. There's also, I think, some question about different cultures and like spicy food and mm-hmm. whether or not kids should be or could be exposed to strong flavors, spicy flavors when they're very young.
Yeah. That is my biggest thing I like to shout from the rooftop is we have been led to believe that our babies, our young kids, need bland, tasteless, textureless food. We are the only society that kind of operates this way in baby foods and purees, and absolutely not. You know, yes, we need to present baby food in a way that the baby can handle it, but we can add cinnamon to our applesauce. We can add paprika to the sweet potatoes and give these flavors and spices to the foods that we're giving our babies. It really helps open that mouth and keeps it awake and ready for just this beautiful experience that food is. You know, like when we say, like, I love food, well, there's so much about food that's beyond the taste and texture. It's the social and the connection that you make with the family and friends as you're going through a meal experience.
I've heard parents say, you know, well, they didn't used to like salmon, but they learned to like it. Do mm-hmm. your taste buds change as you get older?
They absolutely can. You know, it's funny you mentioned salmon because my family didn't like seafood. And so I was an adult when I tried salmon for the first time. I just thought I didn't like salmon, you know, and the first time I had it, it's a very different taste, you know, and it took me a few times to really decide, do I like this? Do I not like this? And it ends up, I like it in certain ways. I like it cooked certain ways. So yes, one, you have the historical or legacy kind of the way families eat, but then also you can expose yourself to new things and decide, yes, I like these or no, I don't.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
What does feeding therapy actually look like? What are the steps that actually happen in feeding therapy?
We really coach the family because with a child and family coming into our office one time a week, we are not going to make changes. So we really have to partner with this family to develop small steps that they're comfortable in following through at home on a daily basis. So really that could look like getting the child comfortable with having a new or different food on the table. Maybe being on the table is okay, so then we put that food on their plate. And that might be too much, so then we're going to have that kiddo pick the food up with their hand and, you know, say no thank you. But then that kiddo did just interact with the food by touching it. It's on their hand. Their hand might get close to their face, so they might smell it. So we just do these small steps that are just pushing far enough, but not too far that it sabotages the meal.
Is it common for it to turn into more than just, I guess, a mental aversion to a certain food? As we heard one of the moms talking about, she felt like her son was actually developing this really strong gag reflex when he was dealing with a food that he didn't like or wasn't familiar with. Can it be physical?
So certainly, when we're working with a family, we have to look all around the issue. So we certainly look at how is that kiddo with their sensory system? Are they okay with the sensory experience of food, how the food looks, how it feels, how it tastes, and really develop a good understanding of how that child is experiencing the sensory aspects of food. It is not uncommon that a feeding challenge will start with an underlying sensory challenge and move into a behavioral challenge where they're avoiding, protesting, and then it progressing from there. Certainly, our kiddos have a lot of anxiety. If there's been a choking event, an allergic reaction event, there can be a lot of fear with feeding. So we partner all the time with our occupational therapist to work through sensory challenges. We work with our mental health therapist to work with any anxieties or phobias around eating or food. And then, yes, if we see that there might be an actual physical challenge that might be inhibiting swallow, then we can refer to medical community to further look at that as well.
So what is your favorite recipe or meal for young children?
Oh, wow. This is an experience that I wrote about in a blog a few years ago. My kids are older now, but we had made spaghetti lots of times, and I decided to do something different. I was like, I'm going to make big ziti. My kids are like, big ziti, you know, and they had this big reaction, you know, and I always joke that anything with a Z in it can't taste good. You know, we have zucchini and, you know. And so I was able to break it down for them and say, well, instead of long stringy noodles, it has rotini noodles, you know, so they're curly, but they taste the same. They just look different. It has the spaghetti sauce, so that's the same. And then you put cheese all over it, just like pizza. So I took this new food and broke it down, linking it to other foods that they liked. And so when it came out of the oven, they had these other foods to kind of link it to. And so they were willing to try it, and one loved it, one said it was okay, and we got through the meal. So I guess my favorite thing is to present something new to a kiddo and link it in a way that makes them intrigued to try that new thing.
Mm-hmm. I know I'm hungry now. So Kim Kanzler, feeding therapist with Encompass, I'm going to go have dinner. Thank you so much.
Encompass is a nonprofit that partners with families to build healthy foundations for children. We provide early learning, pediatric therapy, and family enrichment for children of all abilities in the Snoqualmie Valley, Issaquah, and East Side communities of King County, Washington. You can find more information about picky eaters and other parenting issues on our website, EncompassNW.org.